My name is Beth Locker. I am a hearing impaired teacher of hearing impaired high school kids in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania School for the Deaf. I used to work in a deaf Lutheran church as a parish assistant. The topic of this discussion group, because it really isn't my lecture, but it's our discussion, is the deaf perspective of God and faith. But I really have broadened the topic to look at disability, whatever that means, and how that relates to faith and the understanding of God. You know, I really don't intend to have this in any way like a lecture, but I want it to be your thing. And I want to be shooting some questions out, and I would like for you to juggle them and throw them back and forth. She's looking for Dan. I will start the tape now, okay? I'd like to know a little bit about you before we start. You know, where you're coming from. If any of you have any experience with disability, maybe yourself, maybe with your work, someone in your family, whatever. Anybody? Does anybody here work with anybody or have any family members who are considered disabled? That would be the sign for disabled. Carol, you work with deaf children, right? Anybody else in a situation similar to that?
I work with deaf children in the deaf school.
Weren't you a house parent or something?
I was, but...
The school for the deaf in Detroit. Anybody else here?
Yes, I've worked also with...
As a house parent, the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
How about anybody else? Any other experiences? Okay. It's too bad the board is back there, but I guess we just won't use it. There really are two rules here for this meeting, because there are so many hearing impaired people here. And we have two interpreters here. Bill is interpreting for me, reverse interpreting my voice. And Megan is interpreting for them, the other hearing impaired people. So when and if you want to speak, please raise your hand so that we know who is speaking. That'll also prevent two people from speaking at the same time. Okay? I'd like to open with asking you what the word disability means to you. I know that it has many, many different meanings. I'm just curious what maybe it means to any of you. Yes?
It means a barrier to accessing something.
Blocks us from an opportunity to do something. Anyone want to add to that?
To me, it means I can't hear.
Okay, fine. Anybody else? Did you have your hand up?
No, I was coughing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think lots of times disabilities are when a minority of people don't function the same way a majority do. For example, if everyone were deaf, being deaf wouldn't be a disability. I'm colorblind, which doesn't bother me at all, but it bothers a lot of people who aren't, because I don't see the same colors that they do. if everyone were colorblind, it wouldn't be a disability. They wouldn't make red stop signs.
In other words, maybe a disability is something that makes you different from the norm, from the majority of people. Yes. Anything that you want to add to any of those definitions? When you hear the word disability, what do you think about? Do you think of yourselves, or do you think of other people as being disabled? Do you think of it in a positive or a negative way? What feelings are attached to that word?
Well, maybe it means projecting some of the things I was able to do less. I'm different now. I'm not the same person.
You've changed.
Yeah, I was thinking of that too. Not being able to do some of the things that you want to do. Like Dan is colorblind. I have scoliosis. I have curvature of the spine, which means I can't carry some things like a canoe. I wish I could go on canoe trips and carry a canoe, but I can't.
Yeah. Yeah, so different people really are disabled in different ways. Prevent them from doing what they want. Yes.
For me, a disability has been that I'm not disabled in what the normal traditional sort of disability that I can hear, I can walk with both feet, things like that. So it's been a disability to me because I think of myself and I catch myself thinking of myself as being normal and perfect, and that in itself is a disability, my own way of thinking.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it, for sure.
I remember a long time ago, there was a fire marshal that went to visit a school, and he was looking around at the school. In one room, he couldn't go in, and it was the supervisor's room, or the dorm counselor's room, and he went in there and said he didn't understand how we couldn't hear the alarm.
You were sort of involved in some discrimination. I'm asking you, hearing impaired people, do you like the word disabled? Is that a word that you accept, or do you prefer something else?
I would rather be, I feel equal to other people. I don't like being considered lower than other people.
Yeah, there seems to be a negative part to that. Do you feel the same, or? Realistic.
Yeah, I'm realistic.
It seems realistic, and I accept that that term. You accept it when other people call you that? It doesn't bother you that? Yeah, it doesn't bother everybody. Any of you others want to add anything to that?
It's something that we have to face up to.
It's something that we have to face.
But we have to face up to.
Some people won't accept it, but we have to face that. After being deaf 55 years, it becomes a way of life. The word? Yeah, this disability.
What becomes a way of life? The feeling or?
Yeah, just the lifestyle.
Would you like to sit in a chair that I could see you?
This is fine.
Okay. Other people last year brought up some interesting words that they preferred. Disadvantaged. Physically challenged. Handicapped. There are really many words, and some people prefer some than others. But again, the words are all labels. Like Dan said, everyone is or has some kind of differences in them, in themselves. No one is different and perfectly normal. You know, and if they're not, then sometimes we automatically label them disabled. Who do you think God considers disabled? As God looks around, who do you think he considers disabled? Ooh, quiet now. Yes?
Only those who reject him.
Anyone who rejects him. Anybody else?
People that believe in materialism.
Reincarnation.
Oh, reincarnation. Thank you.
Some people believe in reincarnation.
Like some people believe that a person will be punished if, in, you know, believe from their past life be punished with this life.
Okay, hold that idea, because we're going to be coming back to that real soon.
The Bible teaches in the book of Jeremiah that he says, I knew you were before even you were born. Therefore, he must have known that I was going to be this way, because I was born this way. So, I guess he knew about that beforehand.
Do you feel that God planned you the way
right.
you are? And therefore, in his eyes, you are not disabled?
To him, I'm not. He is the way he created me to be. That's it.
Okay. Does anybody want to add to what Lester has said?
Well, I was just wondering today, I have to say in the Bible study, I felt kind of funny when I was reading that passage where John the Baptist is asking whether Jesus is the one who come, and then Jesus says, go and tell John, the deaf receive hearing, the lame walk, the blind receive sight, and I didn't know how you all felt about that, because it seems there to be something that Jesus cures.
Yeah.
You're really right where I'd like to go next, actually. Jesus, quote, healed many disabilities. You feel that Jesus wanted to remove disabilities from society. Or do you think he wanted people that were physically perfect?
I think that Jesus made people our way to show our abilities. I believe that he said to show people,
his power.
His power. Yeah. We were put on earth to show his glory, but all things can be made perfect by him, the blind, the deaf, the crippled, it doesn't matter.
Do you feel that he really had to heal people to show his power, or that he wanted to?
But if people asked him to do that, you know, he could show his power.
People asked, and Jesus decided that he would give them what they wanted to show that he had power to do that.
If people... But then it told people to don't go out and tell anyone about it. So in a way, he was showing that he could show his power to individuals that they could get what they wanted, but he didn't want them to go out and blab it around to everybody. I think that we need to trust his wisdom. And we do.
And why did he do that?
Because he loves us.
And
repeat yourself.
Why did he do things because he loved us?
He did things because he does things because he loves us. It's an interesting Bible verse. from Exodus in the Old Testament. Please reverse me correctly. In chapter 4, when God is talking with Moses, and God wants Moses to go talk with the Pharaoh to let the people of Israel leave Egypt. I don't know if you're familiar with that. And God said, go, speak with them. And Moses said, who am I? Lousy speaker, I can't speak well. Please, ask my brother Aaron to go. Not me. I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember what God said to Moses?
But shoes?
That was before. That was before.
He said, I will give you the words. To say.
Right. He says exactly. In verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, who gives man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? It is I, the Lord. Now go and speak to the Pharaoh. Please shut up. I will give you the words to speak. So who makes disabilities happen? God?
Yes, that's what happens.
God makes those things.
He allows them to happen.
God decides who we are, who will be deaf, who will be blind, who will be hearing, fat, blind, tall, red hair. He decides. That kind of opposes a traditional thought. Someone brought up, you know, as disability as sort of punishment, sort of a curse. And many people still believe that today. That I'm deaf because perhaps it's something I did, or something that my parents did. And I'm now being punished in my life. Do you think there's any sense to that?
No. Let me say that if I was not deaf, if I had normal hearing, I would not be as good of a Christian as I am. I might have gone another way and might not have followed Jesus. But through being deaf is how I found my Christianity in Jesus. So I would not be a Christian if I was deaf.
You feel that because God gave you deafness, you found Him.
Yes, absolutely. I feel very strongly about that.
Yes.
I think even the hearing people, we're all given some kind of disability or some kind of problem that we've had. I've had tremendous things happen in my life, and I can either grow from that and become a better Christian, a stronger person, or I can let it destroy me. And I think that's the same with being deaf or any problem.
Does anybody want to add to that? Do you have similar thoughts?
I think that disability people can influence people to grow in their thoughts. And the frustration can help us to grow. And we have to fight those problems and grow from it.
Do you think it helps or hurts with your faith?
What'd you say?
Do you think disability helps or hurts your faith?
Well, I feel that at first I kind of wondered, why am I disabled? Why do I have this? But then I can see that God has a greater power and a greater plan, and I can understand His way, and then I can follow His way.
Okay.
And it's like the first time I was puzzling why I was deaf. But now I see how wonderful it is, what a wonderful gift it is. and I'm able to help other hearing impaired people.
So in the beginning, you really struggled.
Yes, I thought, gee, hearing people have so much bigger abilities and opportunities, and gee, I'm deaf, I can't do this, I can't do that. Now I realize I can, with God leading me, I can do so much.
What you used to not be able to do has been something that has enabled you.
And I've seen hearing people can do all these things, hearing people are all the big successes. But now I see with God's power, I can do everything. And I can accept that and just go on.
Yes.
Oh, that would be, I was thinking of Paul, where he says, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, about the thorn in the flesh that he prayed that would be removed from him, but then finally God didn't, and he discovered that it was a way of God's glory being manifest through his weakness, and that it was a help to his ministry, even though we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but...
True.
Could it mean suffering?
Could it mean just mean suffering in general? Having pain?
Emotional pain.
Could have been emotional pain?
Doesn't really say exactly in the Bible.
A thorn of another kind.
No, but a thorn of another kind could be, it's kind of in question.
Could be. Mm-hmm. Could be a disability. It could be his sexuality.
Yeah.
Could be an emotional problem. It could be anything, really. Spiritual, emotional, physical, sexual, any area of his life, really.
That's what I mean.
That's really what I meant.
Yes.
From 6 children in a family, and my oldest daughter was born very, very hard of hearing. And I was hearing until I was 13, and then my hearing slowly decreased. And we don't really know why. And then I lost it totally and became deaf. And maybe I have about 20% left. But I really can't hear words. And I have 2 other deaf brothers. And they're all married, and my hearing brother and my 2 deaf brothers have children, and my sister has had none. No deaf children. And apparently there have been no deaf children in this generation. Out of 5 nieces, actually there's been 5 nieces and nephews that are deaf, so some of the children in the next generation are deaf, or some are not.
Well, you never really know. You know what God is going to decide to give to each person.
In the generation preceding me, there were no deaf people in the family preceding us until this generation, and then on, we've had deafness.
Yes.
Well, I was going to ask, are some of you deaf because of accidents? And then is that harder to deal with in terms of this understanding of disabilities given from God, or how to...
I have met a few people who have lost their hearing later ages. And it seems to me they've gone through a lot of more emotional trauma about that. But the deaf people who have been deaf from childhood or born deaf or from disease early on seem to have no problem with it. But people who have become deaf later in life seem to have a lot more emotional trauma connected with that.
It can be rougher, really. I believe Elroy became deaf when he was 35. Did you want to share how those feelings?
Not really true. Because
well, that's really true, because when I became hard of hearing at age 6 or so,
That's true about my wife. She really suffered
when I became deaf.
We almost went to pieces. Difficult.
It was very difficult.
We almost came apart.
We almost came apart.
I was hard of hearing.
I was hard of hearing, so without the hearing aid, I was the same as being deaf.
Perhaps easier for you than actually for your wife.
Yes, it was much easier for me than it was my wife. It really impacted her.
Anybody want to add to that? I became deaf at 6 1/2 from spinal meningitis. That was really traumatic, but especially for my parents, more than for me. I can remember that it was especially hard for my mother. You know, that parents really feel guilty enough if anything happens to their kid. And they think, oh, if I'd only given them more medicine, or, you know, made her wear a coat because it was cold out, or I didn't pray hard enough, if. And then you have well-meaning people often come up and say, oh, you need to pray more. You need to read the Bible more. People imply that it's something we do or don't do that oftentimes causes our disabilities. You know that if there's a bad accident, or if there's a death or a disability or anything happens to somebody, there's a tendency in people to immediately make a judgment. You know, if that person was good or bad. Suppose the person was a good person, as they say. He goes to church, he reads the Bible, whatever. And they think, oh, I don't know why it would have happened, but God must have had a plan for that person's life. And we have to accept that. But suppose that that person is a troublemaker or something. And the same thing happens. The same people might say, well, he deserved it. God punished him. We tend to take up the role of God ourselves sometimes and make moral judgments. We begin to label people as good or bad, right or wrong. And we forget all about God's grace. We forget also, as in Exodus, that God also decides to give people different challenges in life for whatever reasons. We don't know now. That's the hard part. We just don't know. But God has reasons. And that has been helpful for many of us. In Romans chapter 8 talks about how things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And I believe that it does. I don't think life is always easy, but things do tend to work out for good. As I look back at my own life, I can see how things have fit together so beautifully. Like Lester has just said. You know, that had he not become deaf, he might not be where he is today. He wouldn't have the faith that he has today. It's kind of the opposite that often society might tell us. Society might say often, but our disability, our life depends on our faith. But he's actually saying that his faith has more or less, you know, and Dorothy said that their faith actually depended on what happened to them. And that's really the opposite. Does that make sense?
I think since we cannot answer the question why, the focus needs to be more on the fact that God became flesh and lived our life and had compassion for those who are sick and suffered, was betrayed, knows what it is to die, And the focus should be on the God that walks with us in our disability, in our suffering. And perhaps that's where the disability or the suffering leads to the faith of the God who is with us.
True. So how could you help other people see that?
I think by being honest and sharing your disability or your pain and telling about the God that comforts you and gives you strength.
Anybody want to add to that?
And we ourselves
let our life shine
by
our disability.
People in some ways have never seen a disabled person. And when they get
to know us, they won't know what a disability is all about.
And then they realize that there are other people that have disabilities too.
They are not alone.
Oh, yeah. In general, I think society tends to respond or react three ways. You know, for example, with me, I go into a store and I want something and I can't find it. So I go up to the clerk and I say, "Excuse me, I'm deaf. You know, could you help?" And the clerk might say, "Ah," and they panic. "She's deaf, what do I do?" And they run to the manager for help. A second way, the person might say, "Oh, poor deaf person. Oh, let me give you something free here." A pity reaction. Or the person would be sort of...
Patronistic.
Paternalistic, and they would lead them there. I will go there, I will take care of it, I will take care of this. Something that you really don't need. You know, pity, panic, and paternalistic.
Patronizing,
but she's saying ick at the end.
Have you thought about how you or we respond to other people, perhaps in that same way? Suppose we go on a hike, and I ask Barb to carry a canoe across the river for me. And Barb says, "Oh, I can't, you know, I have a back problem." What's the best way that I can respond to her? What do you think? So what? Who cares? Oh, let me help you. What?
I asked Barbara to interpret, for example, and she walked over a cross and videotaped and refused to do that for me. So what would I do?
Oh, could you say that again, please?
I'm just teasing. I said, Barbara, the interpreter, walked out of there. I asked her to walk to videotape. Walk over a log.
He's teasing.
Oh, yeah, on the hike.
On the hike, but
I think that really what it shows, you know, is what people feel. How does God want us to respond to people in those situations? No more silliness, Dan.
Respect.
With respect?
Respect.
Can you expand on that?
maybe to ask that person what they want, not to answer for them or think for them.
Very good. It's a definitely good starting place. What bothers me a lot is when someone asks me a question and then somebody else answers for me. Why did they bother to ask me in the first place? Some interpreters will do that. Sometimes people with disabilities, you know, their family members will do that. Often parents will do that for their kids. I think all of us are really guilty of that at one time or another. I'd like to go back just a little bit to what Barb was talking about and Jesus healing the sick, curing deaf, blind, lame. Do you equate or equalize disability with sickness?
Can you state the question another way?
Do you think that being disabled and being sick is the same? No.
No. Uh-uh. I think that a disability now, you know, I'm very strong. I don't need a doctor to help me like a sick person would.
You think that sick people can be healed, whereas disabled can't?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't consider yourself really sick,
right,
only disabled.
That's right. A sick person needs some special help, and they need more focused attention on them. But we, you know, a sick person, but we can be independent by ourselves. Oh, I'm sorry, we can be independent ourselves. Can you say that again? I was not signing. Yeah, time out. Okay, the people in the back, you
can
see Dorothy's sign. So,
why don't they, could they move?
We could move up there.
Yeah.
I'll sign, but I just forgot. It's voicing and signing.
Betty?
Over here. Okay.
Could you move a little bit?
But then, she's going to be able to see me.
Okay.
Save your neck. Is that a little better? Could you say again what you said?
They need special help, more focused attention on an individual if they're sick. Whereas a person with a disability can be independent. They can do anything they want.
What about people who are, say, paralyzed?
True, they need help, some kind of person to help them and give them some attention.
You think that's disabled or being sick?
Well, they're very limited.
I didn't mean to try to stick you, but...
Well, that's a good challenge.
This is very helpful. I think, from my experience, one of the myths of our society is that we can somehow, as individuals, be totally independent. And we have a perception that if you have a disability, you have to be dependent on other people. But what I find so much, that people who have disabilities, who learn to be whole persons with those, show us how to be interdependent. So it's neither independent or dependent, but rather a community where we're interdependent together. And that's what I experience as one of the best gifts of people who have so-called disabilities for the rest of us.
I think that also includes some humility, too. asking sometimes for help when it's needed. Also being bold in other areas. No, thank you, I don't need your help, but thanks. And telling other people, I can help you. You know, I'm strong here, you're not.
So do you ever find yourself wishing that Jesus had not, quote, healed the deaf people or blind people or lame people in the Bible stories? Because that's somehow saying that there was something wrong with that condition?
I personally am glad that he did it, because it did show his power, his glory. And I think, and I feel that his emphasis was more spiritual healing. Always talking about people who sinned and being forgiven. That was, I think, the emphasis more than the physical. That's my own feeling. I don't know, does anybody else want to answer that? It's a really interesting question. Do you feel that you understand?
There's a theory that nothing that Jesus ever did, there's nothing that Jesus might refuse to do for you. Then therefore, if I'm not stronger, if I'm not stronger with my deafness, I'm not sure I got that clearly. Can you back up a little bit? There is nothing that Jesus ever did or refused to do for you. So therefore, if I don't want my hearing back in this world, he's got a very good reason for not doing that. And so I have to think positively about that. I can see good reasons for that and accept it.
Barb, I think a problem here is a lot more with how people generally interpret it. People's emphasis seems to be more on physical healing, I think. You know, whereas I think Jesus' emphasis was more on spiritual forgiveness. Giving them the gift of life again. I think that oftentimes we dwell on that physical more because it's something that we can see, touch, feel. Whereas the spiritual is certainly something that's more abstract and inside. That's my viewpoint.
I think you're right, because Jesus always says when he does these healings of whatever kind, your faith has made you whole. And I think it's our faith in God that brings wholeness in our lives, and that the healing means wholeness, and that God's grace is always sufficient to bring wholeness to our lives, and that has to do with faith, not with the physical change.
The sticky part with that is that people then somehow say, you don't have enough faith. You're still disabled. I remember when I had just become deaf, and my parents were pushed from all over to pray, to read the Bible. They even took me to a faith healer. The emphasis that people put on it was faith was somehow an act, a physical thing, something that they had to do right or wrong, instead of something that's God's grace and part of his plan for something. I understand what you're saying. I just think there's a danger in that word faith. Jesus said, faith has made you well. True, but But if people say, your faith is weak, you're deaf, I would say, if your faith is strong enough, then heal me. You know, that's certainly a bold answer, but it usually quiets people. It certainly makes them think a little more.
I think that Jesus had ten opportunities. Leprosy. Excuse me. No, they can all see too. And he made them all whole. And they came up to him and said, thank you.
Huh?
One came up to said, thank you. And I was looking
Sorry,
away.
Mm-hmm.
I missed part of that last part. I was looking away for a second. The leper, 10, and one came up and said, thank you. One came back and said, thank you. And he became healed and said, your sins are forgiven. But what happened to the other nine? What exactly happened to them? I can't really look back there. I'm sorry. I'd like to have sign language interpreted in the front too. And that's, I'm sorry. I thought that's why we moved and that everybody could see then. Yeah, one more time. Okay. I said that Jesus, there were 10 men and that had leprosy, sick. And they were looking at Jesus. And Jesus had pity on, it said, asked Jesus have pity on us. And they all became whole. Then Jesus left, and one of the men went up to Jesus and said, thank you. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. What about the other nine? Did they become sick again? That's my question.
And even more, were their sins forgiven?
Well, he asked for Jesus' mercy, but those other guys didn't. But that's my point.
Do you think that God wants to heal all people from all sickness, disability? No. Why?
The emphasis, I think everybody can see him. The emphasis is that God is above everything. Forgiveness is the most important thing above everything. The physical thing is the last important. That's a point. The point to me is two different ways. What did Jesus do while he was on earth? He healed the sick, he healed the disabled, everybody flocked him. Jesus did a lot of healing. But today, the disabled people just accept the way they are. They accept the way things God has given them. It seems like it's different. It's interesting.
You feel that God doesn't really heal people today?
Well, it seems to me maybe in other ways that I see. You know, we see his power through many wonderful things, the gifts he gives us, that kind of thing. My wife has had bad breast cancer, and so she had to have surgery for that. And so I went to see my friend, and my friend said, you know, come to church with me, pray, and ask the pastor what we should do. But it seems like it doesn't matter. It seems like, you know, whatever God would happen. Same thing, so Jesus touched. Oh, just like in the Bible, they touched Jesus' feet and they became healed. It seemed like through the blood of Christ, people could be healed. But maybe it just depends on what God wants. But one other thing. One thing I want to make clear, the stitches that happened, they're very terrible, hard stitches, and very, you know, the cancer, it had a bad infection, and it got worse and very swollen and very painful. And it was black and just terrible. And we prayed and prayed, and it seemed like nothing happened. And then we got a call to go, and we prayed faithfully about it for a long time. We went in, he told me to come in. And what was that? Paul? A Catholic priest, John, told me that he touched me and prayed on me, and I started feeling something. As I left, after that touch and the blessing happened on me, I left and went home, and my friend was there, and could feel something, some big bubbling change. It felt like there was something physically happening inside the body. And got home, and while they were bathing, the stitches, after the stitches were had been healed, the swelling was apparently gone. A terrible, the pain and suffering was there for a second, and then it subsided, and it was gone, and everything was fine.
So, you're saying that you still think that God is healing today?
In my experience, I had a wonderful healing. And thanks be to God, I was very happy that he gave me that wonderful healing.
I have really two questions now. One for the deaf, and really one for the hearing, each separate. Suppose you died and you went to heaven. Do you feel you'd become hearing?
I believe.
Should, yes. Yeah.
You're all answering at the same time. All over.
I believe that when we go
I believe home when we go heaven, home to heaven.
That God will make us
that
whole.
God will make us
and our whole body will be
and our whole body will be transformed.
It will not be what we have today.
It will not be like what we have today.
God will give you a new body, and you won't be anything like now. Deaf, hearing, what do you think?
That is his alone.
That is his alone for us, for him to decide.
Do any of you others agree, or do you feel differently? What do you think?
Dancing, I agree with that. We'll have a new body, totally. Let's just say yes, I agree. I agree, yes.
Okay, now the hearing people. Suppose you die tonight, and you went to heaven. Do you think God will make you deaf?
Deaf people are saying, no. No, no.
Why not?
I think that we'll all be made whole. I think that there won't... I think that we'll be able to love each other and understand each other without having to talk or we'll just... I don't know how to explain it. I just think there will be a different way of communication, and that we'll all be whole, and we'll all be together.
Okay.
I guess I'm hoping in heaven, hearing and seeing and tasting doesn't matter, that it's a relationship, and it's a wholeness.
Hold, wait one second. This is really for the hearing people now.
I have to admit, I have never thought of that question until right now, and I don't know what I think.
Before my husband died, he lost his leg, and they finally had to amputate a leg up from poor circulation. And he loved the Lord, and I know that he's going to have a new body. He'll be completely whole. He's probably up there with both legs right now fishing.
Barb?
Well, that is a really interesting question. But I think that for me, music is so important and so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to hear music too. But I also want to be able to watch all of you sign. So if the only reason you sign is because you're deaf, then it would be sad to lose that in heaven.
I think that in heaven, physical bodies will be irrelevant. I think the spirituality will just surpass all that we have here on earth.
Yeah.
Yes. It's really a trick question. It's not fair. But I want to catch you a little off guard, too. Because so many times people will come up to me and say, I know you're happy now, but wait until you get into heaven. You'll be perfect. People respond as if, you know, that I'm not perfect now. But actually, in God's eyes, all of us are equal. All of us are perfect. That's what makes us different from other people, who, because we have hope. We have the knowledge that we're brothers and sisters. You know, we'll have new bodies of some sort. We don't know what they'll be, but we know that God has a perfect plan for us, and that's so exciting. Whatever we have now will become glorified in heaven. That's a neat thing for us to remember. I wanted to bring up one more thing before we closed, which is now. Try to think more like everybody's on a curve in life. Some people have more brown hair. Some people have more red hair. Some people taller, thinner. Some people keep clean houses better, mow their lawns better. Some people have closer relationships with God than other people. But it doesn't mean that God loves them more or less. God gives each of us something in life. And we all have challenges, and to make the best of it. Only we as individuals can do that. Like what I think Dan was saying. We're all interdependent on each other. Many of you hearing impaired people can do things that hearing people can't, and vice versa. And certainly if we were all the same, a boring world. We would forget why God put us on earth. And we certainly wouldn't be as sensitive towards each other. I'm not saying that we're sensitive now, necessarily. You know, we still have a long way to go. But it's just something to try to remember, that God made us who we are. And we're all beautiful in His eyes. I'll just leave you with that thought. And close now, unless somebody else would like to add something to that. Yes.
Beth, you said why.
Beth, you said why.
You said why.
A little while ago, you said why. Why about going into heaven, having a new body?
But why is because
God has all the power to do things.
Yes, yes, true. Okay, thank you all for coming. We hearing impaired people, you know, we'll have a forum on Thursday night, and I suppose you could ask and talk about other things then. But this is a little bit of a starting point. Thank you again.
Thank you.